Fox, inside low left, Eric Williams. Stockton steals. There it is. Stockton stole the ball. He's the all-time leader in the history of the game. 2,311. Stockton left to right. Over to Carmelo. 50 foot of the base. Yes. Stockton the ball. Stockton with the ball, front court left. He looks to Carmelo. He's got him low. The mailman jumps it. Shot up. It's in. He did it. John Stockton to Carmelo. John Stockton with 11 assists. They're on their feet. A new NBA assist king.
Russell will inbound at half court. Uh-oh. Stockton, open three. Good! John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals.
Welcome to the Utah Jazz front court. Name change pending. This is your host, Brian Preece. Find me on Twitter at bpreece24. That's at bpreece24. You can also find us on Facebook at Name Change Pending and at Instagram at Name Change Pending 24. That's Name Change Pending 24. Then also follow our other hosts, Tommy Girone at Ruthless Lupe at RUTHLESS underscore LUPE and Josh Keel at Rise and Shout at RYSENSHOUT. So for this episode, I guess I'll start off with a little personal announcement. This is going to be the last podcast we'll release before I officially become a correspondent for Cumulus Media covering the Utah Jazz. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm going to be going to practices and hopefully attending games soon and covering the team. We'll be releasing content on several Cumulus Media platforms here in the Salt Lake Valley. So I'll get that information to you as soon as I can. But we'll jump right into the podcast today. Just going to talk about basically everybody that is in training camp with the Utah Jazz, give a little summary of their careers, and then talk about a little bit where I think they're going to contribute to the Jazz this season. So we'll start with trade acquisition, Mike Conley. He's entering his 13th season, and with that 13 years, he's the most experienced Jazz player coming into the season. Last season, he averaged 21.1 points per game, 6.4 assists, and 3.4 rebounds per game on 50.7% effective field goal percentage. If you're not familiar with the effective field goal percentage, it evens out the weight between two-point field goals, three-point field goals, and free throws, and puts that together in a mathematical equation that I just don't understand, and puts Mike Conley at shooting above 50% for last season. What Conley brings to the team is just, invaluable leadership. He's got that experience that I talked about, 13 years, but he's also got a lot of playoff experience with the Memphis Grizzlies. And I think a big part of his role with the Jazz is going to be to serve as a mentor for developing, budding young star Donovan Mitchell. In my opinion, I don't think I'm alone on this, Mike Conley is the best point guard in the NBA not to have made an All-Star game. If he was in the Eastern Conference, he probably would have made a couple All-Star games at this point, but what can you do? As far as what the Jazz gave up to get Mike Conley, he was acquired with a package of Jay Crowder, Kyle Korver, Grayson Allen, the number 23 pick of this previous year's draft, and a 2020 late lottery protected pick coming up. And that pick, depending on where the Jazz end up after the season, where they end up in the draft, that extends, I believe protections extend on that into 2022-23, something like that. He's got career averages of 14.9 points per game, 3 rebounds per game, and 5.7 assists per game with, again, close to that 50% effective field goal percentage. Over his career, he's shooting 49.8 effective field goal percentage. When you compare that to Ricky Rubio, the Jazz outgoing point guard, who, no salt being thrown at Ricky Rubio, but he just wasn't a very good shooter. Rubio's career average of 43.3 effective field goal percent, that 7% is going to make a huge difference for the Jazz this upcoming year. Conley brings incredible experience, leadership, and really he brings to the franchise an expectation of success for the Jazz. The last couple years, there was an expectation to a degree, but I don't think anybody would have been surprised if the Jazz had fallen off either. With Conley, he comes in and he says, we're going to be great, we're going to work, and we're going to achieve everything possible. Size-wise, he is a little small at 6'1", 175 pounds. He does have a history of injury concerns, specifically some back injuries that have kept him out for a few games. Expect head coach Quinn Snyder to manage his minutes, limit his total appearances this year. I wouldn't be surprised to see some load management here where Conley, even when healthy, he sits a few games here and there, maybe plays 65 to 70 games. Every time he's in the lineup, he's going to start. And you know, really, when I look at Mike Conley and his acquisition, I think that he could be the missing piece for the Jazz championship aspirations. So we move on to starting shooting guard Darnell. I mean, a little Freudian slip there, but maybe so. Donovan Mitchell, he's entering his third NBA season. Last year, he averaged 23.8 points per game, 4.1 rebounds, and 4.2 assists. He gained valuable experience over the summer with Team USA in the FIBA World Cup, where he averaged 12.5 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 assists per game in just over 23 minutes for Team USA. And he and Kemba Walker were really options 1A and 1B for Team USA. Donovan Mitchell looked good in that tournament, especially in the games that I saw. His rebounding seems to have really improved as well. Not that it was a problem previously, but he was getting up and pulling down some strong rebounds in that tournament. Donovan's going to be looking to make the leap in his third year and becoming an all-star for the first time. In the ESPN Top 100, he was ranked 20th, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him move up that list into the next season. I mean, for what do I say about Donovan Mitchell that hasn't already been said? If he makes a jump, if he goes from... And let's be really honest, this isn't unreasonable. If he goes from 23.8, he improves his efficiency a little bit, gets to the free throw line a couple more times... Donovan can pretty easily make a jump from 23.8 points per game to 27 or 28 points per game. Defensively, he's also talked about working on using his quickness and length to his benefit and really becoming a defensive stopper for the Jazz. So if Donovan makes the jump, the Jazz will 100% be championship contenders this year, which I don't know if you can hear the smile on my face, but I'm pretty excited to think about it. Mike Conley, I think, is going to be, I mentioned as we talked about Conley, but I think he's going to be very important to Donovan's development on and off the court. Conley's got a reputation for carrying himself with the utmost respect and providing to the community and just setting an example for the franchise in Memphis. He's going to bring that over here to Utah, and Donovan, I think, is just going to watch and learn and absorb that information. And really, I fully expect Donovan Mitchell to be the best offensive player on this team. I think if he's not, it's either a huge disappointment or somebody made an incredible leap. And I look for Donovan to lead the Jazz to a top four seed in the tough Western Conference. Move on next to Australian guard Dante Exum. He's entering his fifth season. Injuries limited him to 42 games last year. And injuries really are the entire story for Donovan or for Dante Exum. This season, I expect him to be moving off the ball for the Jazz, not playing as much point guard. He might handle the ball a little bit here and there, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him moved into the corners on offense. More of a catch and shoot threat if the defense closes out hard. His first step and quickness can still get him past almost anybody. So, you know, catch and shoot when the defense closes, he puts the ball on the floor and gets to the basket. With Dante Exum, I still love his skill set, but his game just hasn't come along the way I've been hoping for, and a lot of that's been due to injuries. So I mentioned that the Jazz are going to be looking to move him off the ball to capitalize his best skills, defense, and athleticism, while minimizing some of his weaknesses. He hasn't been the best ball handler and decision maker so far throughout his career. Again, that goes back to the injuries and just not having experience on the court. What can we expect to see from Donovan Exum this year? When he's on the court, you can look for him to be defending the opponent's top offensive option. And the question just comes down to, can Dante stay healthy? In the media day on Monday, Dante was talking about how he is preparing to be ready for the playoffs. So it kind of throws into question a little bit whether he's going to start the season healthy. But he plans on being here for the Jazz. The Jazz plan on him being a big piece in their rotation, and hopefully that works out. As far as me personally, I'm not necessarily buying any Dante Exum stock, But I do think a healthy Dante Exum could be absolutely crucial for the Jazz success this upcoming season.
We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts Brian Priest at bpriest24, Tommy Girone at ruthless_lupe, and Josh Keel at riseandshout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending.
Up next, we've got free agent acquisition Emmanuel Mudiay. Mudiay is entering his fifth season, his first with the Jazz. He's a former lottery pick of the Denver Nuggets. He was chosen ninth in 2014 or 15, I believe. I should have looked that one up. But the thing about Emmanuel Mudiay is he's a fantastic athlete, and he's got great size for a point guard. He's 6'5", 220 or so pounds. But surprisingly, with that body so far in his career, he's struggled to finish around the basket in spite of his athleticism. Got career averages of 11.8 points per game, 3.1 rebounds, and 4.2 assists per game with a 43.9% effective field goal percentage. So very similar to what Ricky Rubio shot last year, shot last year with the Jazz. Mudiay's never played more than 68 games in a season due to injuries and lackluster play. He came into the NBA and was thrown right into the fire, possibly before he was ready, and it's been a struggle for Emmanuel Mudiay. So for the Jazz, they've had a lot of success with Denver Nuggets first round draft picks. Donovan Mitchell was chosen by the Nuggets. Rudy Gobert was chosen by the Nuggets, both acquired by the Jazz in draft night trades. So how about one more? That would be great. Mudiay was drafted in 2015, so I did have that information. But he's struggled to acclimate to the NBA for a variety of reasons. He signed with the Jazz this offseason after his agent, former Bulls guard B.J. Armstrong, guided him here to... The story is that Armstrong called up the Jazz front office and said, hey, you guys have shown an ability to develop players. You've got an incredible developmental program physically and mentally, and I want to get Emmanuel Mudiay to Utah so that he can be a part of that program. So he signed a one-year deal, minimum contract. It's kind of a no-lose situation for the Jazz. As far as what you can look for from Emmanuel Mudiay on the court, look for him to become more and more important as the season progresses. I wouldn't be surprised if early in the year he doesn't play a whole lot. He does a lot of learning on the bench with Quinn Snyder, maybe 7 to 10 minutes per game. And then as the season progresses and he starts to earn the trust of head coach Quinn Snyder, I think he could be incredibly important as a backup point guard come playoff time, especially with his physicality against backup point guards. He's going to be more physical and have the ability to be more effective than almost any other team with their backup point guard in the league. We'll move next to Nigel Williams-Goss. Jazz fans might remember him. He was drafted by the Jazz out of Gonzaga University in 2017. He's entering his first year with the Jazz, though. After being drafted, he played in Summer League with the Jazz, and then he's been playing overseas for the last 2 years. He played with Olympiakos in Greece. He's got career. He's a 6'3", 190-pound point guard. He's 25 years old. He's got career averages in Europe of 11.1 points per game, 2.7 rebounds per game, and 4.7 assists. He's shooting just over 40% from three for his career. He signed a 3-year deal with the Jazz this offseason, and partially guaranteed this year. This season is fully guaranteed, and then the additional 2 years are partially guaranteed. So it's this kind of a prove it deal, and the Jazz are looking for him to steady the point guard position and come in and fill that Howell Neto role. If somebody's hurt, he's going to get some minutes. Otherwise, he's probably going to spend a lot of time on the bench being that cheerleader, which is just fine. I mean, Howell Neto was a fan favorite with the Jazz, and he only played 10, 15 minutes a game, if that. So what Nigel Williams-Goss is, he's a depth piece. He's going to serve as, the third point guard. And it really appears that the Jazz have been happy with his development in Europe over the past two seasons. And they're hoping to get some production out of that 2017 second-round pick. Up next, we've got rookie Mie Oni. He's, like I said, he's a rookie entering his first year. 6'6", 210 pounds, 22 years old. He played three seasons at Yale, so he's an intelligent kid. He's got career averages of 15 points per game, 6.2 rebounds per game, and 3.3 assists. He signed a three-year partially guaranteed deal, very similar to the Nigel Williams-Goss deal. This season is fully guaranteed, and then the next 2 years are partially guaranteed. I don't know a lot about Mie Oni, honestly, but according to David Locke, the Jazz radio play-by-play man, by the way, if you haven't listened to Locked On Jazz or any of the Locked On Network podcasts, check it out. It's worth your time. It gives you great information, and it's a lot of fun to listen to. But according to Locke, Mie Oni could have a significant impact on this team. Locke sees him playing multiple positions, being able to play 1 through 3, can defend all of those positions. He's a decent shooter at Yale. He's a good passer. Locke talks a lot about him being able to pass off the dribble with either hand, which is something that doesn't sound like a big deal, but honestly is kind of foreign in this league. You don't see it a whole lot. He can defend multiple positions to his strength and length, and he really could see some time on the floor. There's going to be games where he doesn't see the floor at all, and then there's going to be other games where, due to injuries or fouls, he works his way into the rotation and gets some minutes. And I'm really hoping Mie Oni can be productive for the Jazz this season.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Name Change Pending. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending and subscribe to get the newest episodes of the podcast and to check out photos of hosts Josh Keel, Tommy Girone, and Brian Preece as we travel the continent to do what we love, watch sports. Also, I know you've got a lot going on today, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your busy schedule to give the podcast a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, we would greatly appreciate it. Those algorithms can be tricky, and all I know is that 5-star ratings jump us up the lists. So thanks for tuning in, and now back to the show.
Up next, we're looking at Jazz guard Justin Wright Foreman. Foreman is entering his rookie season as well. He was drafted by the Jazz out of Hofstra University. He's 6'2", 200 pounds, 21 years old. He's a big-time scorer at Hofstra. He's got career averages of 18.6 points per game, 2.9 rebounds per game, and 2.1 assists. Last year, he averaged 27.1 points per game for Hofstra. So Jazz bringing in a point guard with some scoring ability and a lot of athleticism. His game's built on athleticism and speed. He signed a two-way contract with the Jazz, so you can expect him to spend a lot of time with the Salt Lake Stars and get some time here with the Jazz, but it's going to be similar to a guy like Tyler Cavanaugh last year. He was on a two-way contract. Tony Bradley's been on a two-way contract. So with that two-way contract, the Jazz are limited in the amount of days that they can spend with the Jazz. Majority of the season on that contract needs to be spent in the G League, and then I believe that contract can be converted to a full NBA deal if the Jazz so desired, but I don't think they're going to be looking to do that right now. As long as the point guard they can stay healthy. What Justin Wright Foreman is, he's going to be a developmental point guard for the Jazz. He's a guy that they haven't had on the roster in a while as far as his size and scoring ability. He, like I said, he's playing on that two-way deal. He is an athletic kid, and he really may have a future in the NBA, but it's going to take some hard work and some development, maybe put on 5 or 10 pounds, develop some strength a little bit. The Jazz are going to be hoping to develop his floor leadership and bring that to a level that matches his playmaking. As a point guard with the Jazz offense, he'd be expected to have the ball in his hands a lot, and he needs to be able to distribute as well as he can score for himself. So that's what the Jazz are looking for with Justin Wright Foreman. And then the last guard that we're going to be talking about with the Utah Jazz is Trevon Blewett. He's entering his first season with the Jazz, his second year in the NBA. He's a 6'6", 215-pound guard at 24 years old. And it's weird. I mean, I'm looking at this picture of him, and he's got a Butler jersey on. So I know I saw that he played at Xavier. Xavier, Butler, whatever works. Last year, he averaged 12.2 points per game, 4.2 rebounds per game, and 1.8 assists in 24 G League games. He started the year on a two-way contract with the Pelicans and eventually ended up in Salt Lake with the Stars. And he's hoping to remain with the Stars, continue developing his NBA game. He's on an Exhibit 10 contract with the Jazz right now. So what that contract basically does is it's hard to summarize, but Exhibit 10 allows the Jazz to bring, they have several guys on these contracts, allows them to bring them into training camp and pay them during training camp. and then allocate them to the G League team, the Salt Lake Stars. And if they get allocated to the G League team, then they get whatever bonus was promised in that Exhibit 10 contract, whether it be $10,000, $50,000. It's going to vary depending on the player. So Trevon Blewett is kind of a training camp body for the Jazz, but also somebody that Salt Lake residents can look for to be playing with the Stars if you make it out to the Lifetime Activity Center out on the Taylorsville Redwood campus of Salt Lake Community College. You might see Trevon Blewett this year. So that's going to wrap it up for the Utah Jazz guard line. This has been Name Change Pending, and your host, Brian Priest. You can find me on Twitter at bpriest24. And this is our first installment of three for a Utah Jazz season preview. Tomorrow we're going to release a show talking about the Utah Jazz front court with Rudy Gobert. Woo, Rudy, Rudy. And as I said, this is the last podcast we're going to release before I begin a long, hopefully long career as a Jazz correspondent with Cumulus Media. So I'll be able to get you some more content, some sound bites, and we're going to improve the show. Thank you for joining us.